All right, listeners, we have some exciting news to share. Once again, the entire Deeply Graphic Design team will be partnering with the Adobe MAX Creative Conference this October 15th through the 17th in Los Angeles, California. Designers from all over the world come to Adobe MAX to uplevel their work, their process, and the creative journey. MAX is the perfect blend of information and inspiration, practical knowledge, and creative magic. Not only will we be there for live interviews and episodes, but the Adobe team has also arranged a special discount for all of our DGDC listeners. Use the code DGDC to receive your discounted rate. And stay tuned for more information on future episodes. We can't wait to meet you guys at Adobe MAX.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison out of Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, old listeners and new listeners. And if you're a new listener and you have not gone back, yeah, welcome. And we've got about 100 episodes in the feed on iTunes and all the different podcatchers out there. But little known fact, there are 60 to 62 old classic episodes that you can access by going to thedeependesign.com/classics. So you can go there and just pay with a tweet or a Facebook post, and you'll have access to the whole archives.
All delivered to you on 8-track tapes.
Yes.
I love
singing
it.
Telegram style. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, but there's, you know, and like, even if you've, there's so many kind of basic episodes back then. Because as you know, like, the further along we go, the more granular we have to get with the episodes. But a lot of those first 60 were, I would say, the basics,
the
of
fundamentals.
What any design show, the fundamentals.
Yeah.
So if you want to start from that place, go for it. Again, that's thedeependesign.com/classics. All right, what are you guys up to?
Well, we're always so lucky to record on Friday, so now we get to recap our week a lot better. But yeah, I've had quite a week, so I'm kind of so excited that it's kind of coming to an end, even though there's going to be some week work over the weekend. But wow, yeah, some anxiety too. Like, you know that feeling when you're just juggling everything and it's overwhelming and you know what you should be doing every hour of the day? That was the week. It was crazy, you know?
Yeah, scheduled.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because I do, you guys, when you mention this to other folks, specifically either friends or designers or family, the first thing everyone always says is like, well, you know, hire up for it, like, go to your
right.
outsourced team. But like,
yeah, they make it sound really easy,
but sometimes you're so in the middle of these five or six projects that it would
take
just
more work to explain where you're at and why
yeah.
it is where you're at.
In the long run, I think
I know
I want to get better set up for that, so I can
yeah.
use them more on an emergency
yeah.
basis. But oh man, when it's all you and it's all in your mind and it's all in your email account, it's like, man, it is quite a feat.
It's always interesting yeah. too to reflect on how, you know, you get so caught up mm-hmm. in it when you're in the moment cranking out work that you don't take the aerial view perspective and recognize how many accounts you're truly toggling.
Oh, I had to all
back and forth
yeah.
through by the end of the day. And when I record my hours at the end of the day or the following morning, it's like 7-8 different accounts.
Yeah, yeah.
That
same.
It's ridiculous. But I try not to bitch about it because that's very fortunate.
Of
all
course.
The same.
And then you feel so bad.
Yeah.
Venting or whatever, and so
yes.
You know, one thing I did learn that was really nice was trying to figure out the times of the day when it's best to do the creative stuff, times of the day where it's best to do the email and the business side
yeah.
and the accounting side
yeah.
and the billing side.
Right.
So it was like, I did find a good little workflow of when the best times are.
What are those hours for you?
I think mornings are all about, and I mean early mornings, all about the follow-up, the email,
yeah.
the planning the day, all that. And then
I'm like you.
Right. And then there's maybe
and that's like
changes.
Between 5 and 7 a.m.
Yes, then comes changes and revisions. So anything that needs changes or revisions, it's almost like you wet the palate a little bit by doing that, because it's
clear the mind.
It's into creative, but you're not coming up with anything new and fresh. You're doing changes and revisions. Then last leg, which is the biggest leg and continues on, is the creativity, the true new ideation.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I need the earlier side of the day to have that conceptual productivity.
Yeah.
And I'm a morning person anyway. So I need to save more of the production based, math oriented stuff towards the end of the day. That's not where I won't get a brain block.
I'm drinking by then. No, I'm just kidding. Not really in this week, but I know what you're saying. That everyone's different. And I think I've been seeing a lot more of those little blog posts about this whole topic on when your time of the day is to do particular tasks. And everybody is a bit, you got to figure that out. And hopefully it could be proactive for you, because damn, like it made a big difference knowing that like that's what I was going to tackle. And I wasn't so freaking out about the stuff that was so creative.
Yeah, good.
And
because you're able to table and partition with organization, which is super useful. But I think at the end of the day, the moral of this message is to know yourself. When you're running a business, know yourself and your peaks of productivity throughout each day, whether you're hungover or not, what those hours are, so that you can take full advantage of that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helps to know. And I find that it changes over time as well.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I bet everything else
has to be much more gung-ho in the morning. And yeah, it's changed for me a little bit lately.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, interesting.
I think also like
heat. In a random way, you'll get a good rhythm on in the evening when Jason's on one of Jason's days off and he's making dinner. I'm like, oh, I'm not coming in there to eat with you guys. I'm rolling here.
I'm in the flow. I know that feeling, man.
Especially if I've been drinking, and then I feel super creative. So
I love it.
Oh. I get some of my best work that way.
Good deal.
All right, cool. Well, before we get on to the topic today, let's talk a little bit about Skillshare. We love Skillshare. You know, they basically just make it super easy to get in and get out and get on with your day and learn something new, which is kind of the only way to make a go of this career that we've chosen for ourselves. You know, you gotta keep learning and evolving. So Skillshare, of course, is an online learning platform. They've got over 20,000 classes in everything that you love: design, photography, marketing, technology, all that good stuff. And they've got classes in broad topics like logo design or illustration. And they've also got the granular classes, learn the newest updates from Photoshop of this year. You know, every time there's a new
update
feature that Adobe rolls out, you want to learn what's involved with that. And they got you covered on all accounts. So if you're trying to, you know, deepen your skill sets or start a side hustle or explore a new passion, I love exploring new passions. Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving.
That would be a great, wouldn't that be a great challenge for next year? Like maybe we each pick a Skillshare class of something new.
I think so.
Let's do it.
Be good. Let's explore our passions.
You heard it here first.
Like Delilah. I feel like if Delilah were talking about Skillshare, she'd focus heavily on the passion side.
Who's Delilah? Is that radio person?
Okay. Like two people listening to this right now know who I'm talking about. I'll move on.
Okay. So, we ain't one of them.
Anyway, so I found a few classes that Skillshare has that kind of go hand in hand with today's topic. Just a couple: create an awesome lead magnet to grow your blog subscribers, or lead generation mastery, online copywriting, how to write a landing page for a lead magnet. This is how many courses they have. Like just typing in lead magnets, we've got like a whole page of courses. So they've definitely got everything you need. So I love them, of course. And join the millions of students that are already learning like me on Skillshare today with a special offer we've worked out just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents, y'all. That's right. Skillshare is offering our listeners 2 months of unlimited access to those 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. So to sign up, go to skillshare.com/graphic. Again, go to skillshare.com/graphic to get your 2 free months now. That's skillshare.com/graphic. All right. So without further ado, we're going to get into a two-parter here, guys.
Boom.
I love a two-parter. It's binge-worthy. So I got to thinking how important it still is. Like all these new sexy things that come up, how to get clients, you know, Facebook ads, Insta story ads, all these things. Your email list is still gold. And it's not the sexiest thing to talk about. It's nothing new. But your email list, guys, is the one thing you own. Facebook could get bought, shut down. They can change the rules like they just did a few months ago, making it a lot harder to target people you want. But your email list is yours. And it's really the best way to kind of have a one-on-one conversation with your potential clients. Yeah. So what we're going to do here is in over two episodes, we're going to talk all about how to get people on your list in the first place, and then what to do with that list once you've got the list going. So today we're going to talk about how to get people on your list. So I'm going to give you seven really solid ideas for lead magnets that go beyond just sign up for our newsletter, because ain't nobody got time for your newsletter. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like it's not compelling. No one cares. But there's so many different ways of doing it. And so listen to all seven of these. They're all different. They come with different amounts of upfront work you have to put into it. And in my experience, the more you put into it, the more compelling the offer is, and the more people you're going to get on your list. Sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. So before we go, do you guys have email lists that you nurture, or have you ever really gotten into that at all?
Not too much. And I think this is going to be good and new for me and a lot of good tips. I think what has surprised me is how much has collected over the years just naturally without even nurturing or cultivating a big audience of this in any way. I think I have had some luck in getting stuff on the website where there is the subscribe or make sure join our mailing list or anything like that was on there previously. But I think what's interesting is going through a lot of old email, and when you're archiving, you see how many people are truly in your address book alone. And made me think the other day, like when we were talking about this, boy, if you just try a little bit and focus on that, how amazing it could be to get this and like-minded people to, because they're all clients, right? They're all people who we've done work for, you know?
Well, but in your case, yes. But I do want to make clear though, that this isn't necessarily just to send, and by the way, send emails to your current and past clients, but this is a way of getting people into the top of your funnel.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can't just go straight for the, hey, want me to design a website for you, or do you need a logo? Sometimes they're just kind of putting feelers out. They're looking for information and they're not ready to hire you yet.
Yeah.
So you want to get these people into some kind of a funnel where you are offering them value, you're giving them content, and over time, over the series of these emails and this content, they're starting to form a relationship with you, whether they know it or not.
Yes.
And they're starting to like, I kind of trust this guy.
Yeah.
He gives good advice. And then when it comes time for a new logo or new whatever, you're the one they think of.
Yeah.
And then you've got a new client. So it's about getting a lot of people on your list, and not every one of them is going to turn into a client,
no.
But that's okay. You only need a smaller number.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll get going with the list here, and they're kind of going from least time intensive to most time intensive over it. So the first one is going to be a cheat sheet. So basically this is just a document, a series of pages that gives the readers, you know, steps, examples, images that kind of helps them along with putting together a strategy of their own.
Right.
So if you were to, you know, be a logo designer, the cheat sheet could be something about, you know, how to design a simple typographic logo. Here's everything you need to know. You know, and of course, not everyone actually wants to design their own logo, but they will see value in it when they're just kind of initial researching.
Yeah. And is it something?
So help clarify. This is a distribution out to potential leads.
This is something that you are on your website. you're offering this as a resource to anyone in exchange for their email address and name. So then they get on your list.
Oh, so it's not quite yet to land a potential client or clientele in general.
Right. Exactly.
So you're offering that sneak peek of your services.
Yeah. And so this is, I should kind of go back in time here. This is, so yeah, you're going to, in most cases, you're going to kind of run some kind of a cold traffic ad, like on Facebook or on Instagram, to this lead magnet, which is on a landing page on your website, not the homepage, a landing page that is just about this thing. But it has to appeal to your ideal customer. So obviously it has to make sense for what you do, and it has to solve a pain point that your customer needs solving. So if you are specializing in logos in the restaurant industry, you're going to target it to restaurant owners, and it's going to be solving a pain point. Like, they need new branding, and they may think in their head at this moment in time, I think I can do this myself. You know, the idea is, over time, if you get these people on your list, maybe they do their first branding exercise on their own. And then maybe once they get more and more emails from you offering more value, then they think, you know what, time to step it up.
Yeah.
This girl knows what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give her a call. Because to run ads on Facebook to your design services hardly ever, ever works. Like, it does, just to run right to your services.
Yeah.
Very rarely will that work.
Where there's a little bit more of a relationship built through the time that you've sent them these benefits, these little nuggets of, like you said, the cheat sheets and everything. And now you are thought of a lot quicker when the time comes that hopefully they need you.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean,
you said,
this is a longer sales cycle, guys. It's not a one and done.
Sure.
This lead magnet is just how you get them in the top of your funnel. Then you have to nurture them, but that's going to be next week's episode. So this is just about getting
them
in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got it. There's that warm up process that has to happen.
Yeah.
So you're, the cheat sheet is,
I was going to say, this cheat sheet thing, how far do you take it? Like, I mean, like, cause I remember we were talking about, like,
this is in way of proposals from one of our recent episodes.
Like,
you don't want to give away the sweet secrets.
Yeah. What would you suggest you would do?
Yeah. But yeah, that's where I will disagree. You need to give away you need to give away some secrets. You can't have that scarcity mindset of, oh no, no one can know, because they can find it somewhere else.
True.
It's not like anything you know is so proprietary that they're never going to be able to figure it out on their own. They may as well learn it from you.
Yeah.
You know? And at the end of the day, yeah, if someone does want to take it and run with it, they weren't your client to begin with.
True.
The ones that just kind of will take it for what it is and learn from you and start to build you up in their mind as an expert, those are the ones who you're going to get as a client. Again, it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
It's never meant to get every single one of these people as a client, because the numbers just don't add up. That's never going to work.
It's making, hoping there's that one connection that's going to happen through this, or multiple, but not all.
Yeah, exactly. So the cheat sheet is the simple one. It's basically just, you know, walking them through a strategy, giving them kind of bullet points about something. And this works well, too, if you have some kind of a blog post, like a really informative blog post. And then at the end of it, it can say, download the cheat sheet so you can kind of follow along with this and check things off on your own.
Yeah.
As you go.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, you know, it's a quick read, and it's quick to make. Just make it look nice. Obviously, we're designers here. We can make it look nice. And the cons, though, are you can't really go too deep with it. It's going to be kind of quick hits of info. So keep that in mind. The next thing is along the same lines, but it goes a little more in depth and it's a little more actionable. And that's a workbook. So basically, you're providing that information, as well as giving short little things for them to fill out on their own. So, for instance, if you were going to have one that was basically like a workbook for putting together your website strategy, you would tell them all these different strategies and then say, but now it's time for you to write down your goals for the website here. So it's basically, it's offering a much more perceived value because at the end of it, as they would assume that by the end of filling it out, now they've got something that's very customized to them because they've filled it out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you're the next step if they wanted to, you know what I mean? In a lot of ways, like you almost take them to the point of like, well, the only thing left would be execution, and who better to do that than than me, you know? Like, so I get that.
Exactly.
And it's almost like you took your option one, which was the like a cheat sheet or even one little sheet that's more of a workbook style, and now your second option here is almost putting together a small collection of them. Which I see a lot of, and I love those. I love when you see someone
offering
that.
But it still should be on one topic.
Yeah, of course.
It's meant to be.
It's got to be focused.
It's got to be focused.
Okay.
And like I said, it's a lot of perceived value in this, more so than just a cheat sheet. You know, and it's a little bit more time because you have to kind of think those bits through. Like, okay, how am I going to make this super actionable for my prospective client?
Exactly.
But, you know, and then your audience has to put in a little bit of work too, which is good. That's a good thing. Cause I think that's what they want. They want to come through the other end with a finished product.
Some benefit. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next thing is again, along the same lines, and we're going to get things that are a little more varied in a bit here, but this is a guide. So think of this as like the traditional old fashioned ebook. It's usually a little longer, whereas a cheat sheet is more kind of think of bullet points, like almost like a to-do list.
Yes.
This is more
story
of a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of not a narrative, but kind of a how-to, you know, and it could be, most of these are anywhere from 10 to 20 pages, I would say. Mm-hmm. PDF, make it look nice. And it can have a lot of great value in it. And again, you do have to give some information away, because otherwise, if you don't, and they have downloaded this thing that's kind of just, okay, I kind of knew all that, then you have not accomplished your mission of, you know, becoming an expert in their eyes.
Like what are they getting out of it?
Yeah.
You know?
The thing you should be thinking when you come up with this and when you write it is the end user should be thinking as they read it, wow, if this is free, I can't imagine what it would be like if I actually were to work with this person because this is so insightful.
That's good. Yeah.
That should be the goal.
And I guess maybe one little mini rule of advice when you're with these offerings is to not sound desperate.
Oh, well, yeah.
I have absolutely mistakenly become a subscriber to offerings of this sort that are along the lines of pitch, 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 pitch. This is what I can do for you. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Oh, well,
within the guide or within the guide or like
within emails of this sort.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but we're confusing now the follow-up emails with the lead magnet, I think. So within the guide, are they saying that? Because don't ever pitch within
it's promotional nonetheless. So whatever the resource that they are providing, it has that verbiage that's a total turnoff.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. The actual resource itself, with all of these I'm talking about, the only exception would be at the very end, feel free to say, if you need any help with any of this,
a closing,
here's how to do
it. How to reach. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. Or the other thing, which is not promotional, it's just adding extra tips and value in it. If you, let's say you have a bunch of like videos or you have a bunch of blog posts, feel free to drop links to those resources within these documents, but never should it be like, act now.
Yeah.
And like infomercial pitching. Don't do that. Like that's not,
Right. Well, is just how some people are wired. So I think it's important to provide that little tidbit. I mean, I have removed myself from from subscriptions of all sorts where there's just a little bit of that approach, and it's just a total turnoff.
Absolutely. That's and we'll get into the emails in the next podcast about kind of how to walk that line, because there is a very fine line between pitching yourself like a crazy infomercial, like Billy Mays, versus, you know, offering value and then every now and then coming back and pitching your services in a helpful way, in a non-annoying way. There is a way to do it. So the next thing, number four, is a video or audio training. So basically, this would be, and I can't recommend this enough, you know me in video, but you can do audio too.
Yeah.
So it's basically, it would be along the same lines as that guide, but it's in video form, and maybe it's a tutorial.
Yeah.
This is extensive. Maybe it's, this is a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, you mean all of them together?
All of these ideas, what perhaps will make it really super impactful and effective for your business. It's not, we're not saying that this is just, I mean, you've already mentioned that this is not a one and done, but it's a process. It's quite the working process.
Yeah, I think it demands, demands dedication. A lot. But like, again, too, when this is such our biggest question all the time, you know, and it's kind of like, you'll have the content if you're doing it, you know? I think that's the key. I look at this too and I say, damn, this laundry list, this could be a lot of extra work, but it's good stuff to have. I mean, this is building your library of things that you're going to reach out and find new people with, you know, which is great.
Well, and keeping one, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I'm not suggesting you need all of these things.
Of course.
You know that, right? Yeah, okay. This
you're,
is just
you're
like,
going through the options. We understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing that the one that we just overviewed, that guide.
Yeah.
I don't have that language just at the ready that I can extract from. I know how my process and how I undergo projects that's very specific to the way that I run my business, but do I have it summarized anywhere? No.
See,
well, okay. Good point. Yeah. Very good point. So if you're not wondering how you're going to get this content, there's content all over the internet. And I'm not suggesting you steal it. I'm suggesting you find a topic that you think will be, go to BuzzSumo, for instance, buzzsumo.com, and you can type in branding or anything, and it'll show you so many articles that are out there and how popular they are. Go feel free to like look at those for inspiration and see what kinds
of
topics are. Oh, sure.
We can Google. Yeah. We're all used to Googling. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's how you would initiate an essay paper all the same.
Sure.
You're starting fresh work. It requires tasking between research, what language is applicable to your business and worth extracting from, and rephrasing it to be completely your own. That all takes time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not suggesting any of this is easy,
yeah.
but it's worth doing if you're looking to, you know, get, it's a good way to get new clients over time. So it's something,
so Wes,
it's a time
level,
investment.
Since you have made the time for your business to undergo some of these steps for lead generation purposes, Would you share that it's been a major time suck between your existing accounts, your current deadlines, and tracking this? And so, like, in a sense that your evenings are shot. You know what I mean? Your weekends are shot.
I wouldn't say that. I just worked it in between clients and between jobs. It took me a few weeks to get mine together.
And you have your own you put your own deadline to it, so...
And I've been doing this kind of thing for a while between, you know, the podcast, and now I'm doing a lot of YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but I think it's, for me, it's very worthwhile to do it. So, because I'm trying to get a different kind of client, you know, and it's, so far it's been working. So I'm going to keep doing that. And I think it works for me.
It's the way around. Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing too, it was much more, and I used to write blog posts all the time. Like it's something that gets easier over time. So for sure, when I was starting out, It definitely felt like an uphill climb.
So you can't, where to get started and where to stop wasn't so easy.
And I'll say that's the biggest thing right there, Mikkel. It's not so much about the time it takes. It's much more about that mindset of, oh, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Once you've done it, it's a lot easier to do more and more of it.
That makes sense.
You just kind of
shoehorn
it in.
And that can apply to so many other areas, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think a lot of our listeners and people might have a particular area in mind that it could come a little more natural for them to try these things that I could pull from any lesson plan that I've ever put together and automatically like have things mm-hmm. at the ready to finesse and put in a mm. really nice little package mm-hmm. or guideline. And I've been battling with that for a long time. Again, even with the content, it is damn hard to find that time. It is. But I want to try it because I feel like what you just said, Wes, is really important. You want to hand select and go to a particular, you know, target for new clients and people. So it ain't going to come easy. There's got to be some work involved here in doing this. And, you know, so I see a lot of value in being strategic. But again, like nothing comes easy, man. Nothing. So if it means extra time.
Well, here's the thing, too. I pitch all of this stuff to my clients. So I mm-hmm. have to walk the walk on that too. Like I can't just tell my clients, oh, you need the lead magnet, you need all these landing pages in the sales funnel. And then I don't walk the walk. I have to be, I think that's when I started getting more into this stuff to do it for clients.
Very true.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it helps to be able to point them to like, yeah, see, this is what I do and it's worked. And that's what
keeps everything in check.
Exactly. So rolling right along. So number four, we've got video or audio. So this can be just kind of a quick 5 minute to 20 minute training, whatever. If that's as easy as I'll show you how to set up Facebook ads. Let's go screen share. I'll show you my dashboard and this is how I do it.
Yeah.
It could be that. It could be a webinar, which is definitely harder. I've done a webinar.
Of course.
That was a total time suck for me that did not work out. Mm. But I think that had to do more with my topic than anything else.
Yes.
So
I'm a sucker for
video or audio.
I'm a sucker for those, man.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, like anything I have clicked on or given my address to, and I did one just the other day for, it was all about if you're using standing tables and you have back issues, whatever, things to do to eliminate that. And it was a fantastic video. And this guy is
really,
and he has
you need to send it to me.
Yeah. And he sells like a $20 book. This is just like giving you a piece of what it is, but it was a 12 minute video. That's not
cool. That's cool.
Right.
And
the shit worked immediately. It was so awesome.
There you go.
Wow. That's great.
Maybe we'll even share it on the notes. Cause it was quite a really good day.
Yeah.
You sit all day. But those are the ones
I think he wants you as a testimonial, Nick.
I know. So then I can get that book for
more people in the webinar.
Sounds like it.
I'm going to get that book for free, damn it. I'm not going to. And it wasn't slickly done. I mean, to be honest with you, sometimes if it's exactly what you want, and think of this for the person you're targeting, if it's the content they want and it's something they really need, they're going to do it. You know, I think that's one of the biggest points here. That if you can get them onto something that is directly to them, man. Yeah, that's great. So mm-hmm. I think this is a good one too, because like, what would you say is easier for you, Wes? Like if would a 10 minute video or a handbook of 15 pages?
Video. Cause I do video all the time. So it's,
there you go. And if that's that, if it's even more powerful and yet easier, more comfortable for you to do, slam dunk. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing you need to ask yourself as listeners too, anyone listening to this, ask yourself what sounds like the most, what's the thing that you're actually going to do and going to get through? Because, you know, if at the end of the day, you're not going to do it, then it's not going to work. So choose the one that seems like it's not too tall of an order for you and get going on it. You know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing to have in your up your sleeve for sure.
Yeah.
So, but again, it can be video or it can be audio. You could have a downloadable podcast, which might be great for some people because some people will spend more time listening to you than they will watching a video. Because think about it, they'll listen to you while they're in the car or, anyone listening now understands what that's like.
Yeah.
You listen to a podcast, you know?
Hmm.
So And these have a really high perceived value. And it's just like people love consuming content much more through video and audio means than via a written book for the most part. It's a lot more work though for most people. And if you're going to do it, I'm not saying you got to go for the Hollywood level production values, but don't make it look like shit either. Like it has to look like, you know, don't just have like a beige wall behind you. Like it's not going to, it's just not going to be very impactful.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're going to do this, you need a decent background, you need good lighting, and you need good sound.
And you get better as you go. You get better as you go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But this is the kind of thing that it's not meant to be like a series. It's just you do it, and then so it's there's not really much getting better unless you're going to do, you know, replace them over time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the next one is really fun, and that is a challenge. Yeah. So basically, people will opt in, and they'll opt in to a 5-day challenge or a 7-day challenge where every day they'll get a new email with a new small assignment promising them, so by the end, you will know this topic or you'll have done something. For instance, 5-day Facebook ad challenge, to where on day one, you have them write up the headline. Day two, you have them choose the perfect image. Day three, you have them do another part. So by the end of it, they have a Facebook ad up on Facebook for their business, you know? And I'm trying to think of how this would work for maybe a logo designer. I would say maybe it could be a logo design challenge for by the end of it, you would hope that they would just say, screw it, I'm going to call him, have him do it himself. But it's worth it, like helping a few people through to kind of make their own little logo. And then one out of every however many will actually get in touch with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's a lot of things you could do. You could even do like breaking down the positioning of your brand and doing it in 3 or 4 steps of a challenge. And like
a branding challenge.
Yeah, bring in other people from your company too, and be like, day one, what is your voice? Day two, what is your positioning statement? Day three, what is your personality as a brand? Like, you know, like, and mm-hmm. make them like fun brainstorm workshops. You know, like that could be a really neat thing to do. And because isn't the key there is to like, it's again, it's very much like that thing where it's like being binge worthy in a way. Like, ooh, what's tomorrow's going to be? You know, and then it comes and. If you can make it fun and entertaining and education based at the same time, that's awesome.
Yeah. And at the end, as long as they can, that's the thing. Like it has to end with they've accomplished something or they've learned something like kind of in full. So it's very effective when you do it right. And it is a bit of a time commitment from you because you have to write a series of emails. Every day they get a new email. And I would say at least in half of those, preferably in all of them, it'll contain some kind of an audio or visual component, giving them their assignment. And these can be very quick videos or audios. They should be very short. No one's going to want to spend an hour with you every day.
Yeah.
We're talking 2 to 3 minutes a day. So, but it's work, but it can be very effective if you offer a good outcome.
Cool.
Okay. So number 6 is a quiz. So these are fun because it's a little less work from you. It's a little more tech involved, but basically there's several things. Like for instance, the quiz could be, is it time for a new website
mm-hmm.
for your company? And it'll take them through a list of questions. And then at the end they get a result kind of grading, you know, yes, you definitely need a new website today, yesterday, or no, yours is probably good for another couple of years. And then they're still on your email list and you can keep nurturing them. Any questions about that?
That's a cool one. I think, again, like it's progression too. Like it's kind of like day one, day two. It could be, you can make it a week.
This would be a quiz they would just take on your site. One question after the other.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, but they have to give their, so that important to distinguish this, they take the quiz. Then they have to give their email address to get the results.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yes.
Sneaky.
And
okay, that makes sense.
Much more,
That makes sense.
And they're much more likely to give that email address because they've already invested some time and now they want to know what the result is. And not only can this be like if they need your service, it could be kind of which one of your services do they need most? Like, do you need, you know, do you need a custom site or just a semi-custom site or, you know, break it down. Nice. And the other good thing about a quiz is you'll learn a lot about your audience this way and a lot about your potential customers based on the way they answer the questions.
Yeah, where to pinpoint, so yeah. Kind of concentrate.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's all good. It's just, it's a little tricky to set up. There's some tech involved and I don't even know what to tell you to do. Like, but there's definitely programs out there, like little plugins you can use. So
Google Docs has a whole questionnaire thing as well too. I don't know if that can sync into what you're using in a way.
I don't think so.
Or would you use like a SurveyMonkey thing or something? Or
I think it would have to be a little more integrated into the site. I don't know that there's a totally free option for this, but most of these kinds of things you're talking like $10 a month or something.
That's worth it.
And it'll look nice on your site. Okay, so the last one is the most intensive and it's the one I use. And it's a free course or a free mini training, whatever you want to call it. So basically, it's like the video or audio, but it goes a little deeper. Cool. So every day, they get a new video. They don't have to be long. They can be 5 to 10 minutes each. But by the end, the thing that's great about this is it comes with a lot of value. And you have to deliver the value. You can't just talk in...
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than when these things, you get one of these and they just talk in platitudes and believe in yourself kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, so don't do that. Teach something, give them value. And then the good news about this is at the end of it, because it's like 5 videos or whatever, at the very end, you can very naturally segue to pitching your service. At the very end, not in an obnoxious way, just say, I hope you've enjoyed this training. If you want to go even further with it, or if you want my help with it, set up a consultation here and and you can offer some kind of a quick act bonus or something. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things you can do.
It's kind of the pace of it too. Like if they're coming back for more and more and more, and then they see that last one, that's a good spot to end and say, and make the link to the conversion in a way.
Yeah. And by the way, if someone has watched all 5 of those, that is a hot lead at that point.
Gotcha.
They've spent some time with you and they're obviously interested. So yeah, it's very time consuming to make one of these. So it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of value. But so
I think any of these things though you said, Wes, if God forbid they don't work out or you don't get the return back of the time you spent, then I think there's other options that you can take these things somewhere else, right? Bundle it all together and make a course that's almost downloadable, that's paying, you have to pay to download or something, right? Like,
yeah, or I mean, even the worst case scenario, put it on YouTube and get some free traffic from there that'll see you as well. So, and yeah, here's the thing. Don't ever look at any of these things as what if it doesn't work? It may not, but that's no reason not to try something.
And you've still built some great content that could be used somewhere. And
you can repurpose that content.
Still to your advantage, which I think is really great. So it shouldn't hesitate to try something. And I think the way you presented it too is really step by step, like start with the smallest thing that can really be, doesn't take a lot of time, but can bring some value. And then if it works, move to the next one.
Absolutely. You know,
that's great.
Yeah. So do you guys have any other questions about any of these before we move on?
I guess I'm more thinking of, like you said earlier, don't fall back on keeping the style and the interface of everything about these nice and sharp and clean and really well designed too. I think that's a huge point, especially if we are designers doing this.
Like, yeah.
That probably be the one thing I would probably raise my hand and be like, make sure you're keeping that alive, you know?
There's so many industries like where it wouldn't matter too much. Like, yeah, you see some webinars that look horrific, but as designers, we can't really get away with that because that's half of what we're selling. So
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, and stick around for the next episode where we're going to talk about what the hell to do with all these email addresses once you get them, and how do you turn them into customers? So
that's
stay
cool.
tuned in our next our next episode will be all about that. And we of course have a listener question, but before we get there, let's talk some FreshBooks. They basically take horrible math work off our plate, all the invoicing we don't want to do. Although I suspect that Mikkel enjoys it, but the rest of us don't like it one bit. So that's why FreshBooks will do it for us,
there
and we love them for
exceptions
it.
Exceptions everywhere.
Exactly. So they let you create and send really professional looking invoices in under 30 seconds, and you know, with literally two clicks, you can set yourself up with FreshBooks online payments and get paid most of the time within one day, 60% in one day, which is great. When you email a client an invoice, they can show you whether they've seen it, which puts an end to the guessing games, which who likes guessing yep. games? I do not. They're the worst. And the support is great. All I really ever ask for in any kind of service like this is give me the support I want. You know,
don't
make me hunt around. There's nothing worse than a website where you get there and tech support is like just a horrible list of articles that you have to pour through. Not with FreshBooks.
Yeah.
Any questions you got, their award-winning customer service will answer the phone in three rings or less with zero attitude. Mikkel calls them on the daily. So to claim your 30-day unrestricted free trial, yes, it's 30 days for free. Go to FreshBooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, FreshBooks.com/deeplygraphic. And enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Okay, so our listener question comes to us on Twitter from @IsmoDesigns. And his question says, a small business cannot pay the true cost of my service. Can the remaining balance be a tax write-off? I haven't done the job yet. So just to make sure we're on the same page, he's saying if he gave an invoice to a customer or a proposal to a customer, for let's call it $10,000,
mm-hmm.
and they can only pay, he says, we can't really do that. We can only really pay seven. He's asking if I take this job on, can I write off that other $3,000 that they weren't able to pay? The same question goes, let's say you did a $10,000 job and then they just stiffed you on it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you write that money off that you got stiffed for?
Oh.
Unfortunately, the answer is no. I've looked into this, and everyone says that is a no-go. You can't do that. You can only write off money you've spent. You can't really write off money on time.
Yeah.
You can't trade money for time that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
So
otherwise, taxes would be the best time of the year for a lot of us.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
I'd be no like, doubt. Yes, it's tax time.
So don't go taking on pro bono work just to offset your costs. It's not going to work.
But
that might be the shortest time we've ever answered a question in. I think that's
I was just gonna say
the answer is no.
The answer is no, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But thanks for sending that in, Ismo Designs. And if anyone else has any questions, feel free to send them to questions@thedeependesign.com or on Twitter using the #DGDC. And once again, if you want to get those classic episodes of the podcast, just go to thedeependesign.com/classics. And then you're going to click the little button to pay with a tweet or a Facebook post or whatever you want to say about the show. Your friends see it, and you are rewarded with all the back shows.
All the riches.
You can, all the riches.
All the riches.
Wouldn't you love that? All right, guys. Another exciting episode of the pod. You guys have anything you want to add before we kick off for the weekend?
All good.
That was an informative one. That was good.
Yeah. Given you a lot to think about, haven't I?
Taking notes.
I mean, yeah.
All right, guys. We'll keep designing and catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.